Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you and to worship together and to pray together and to follow the Lord together. I'm not sure if anybody else is live listening to us, but in the spirit we can be connected. And God is so good to us to give us another day to get closer to Him and to experience the life that He has for us while we are here in this flesh. When we're going to be in heaven, we're not going to have this opportunity to die to ourselves, to experience what we can hear only by the grace and the power of God. So we are excited for that. Thank God for that opportunity we have today. I meditated the past few days on the Gospel of John. And I'm going to be reading, I'm going to mention many places from John, but we'll be reading from John chapter 20 this morning. And I'm going to start from the verse 30 and 31. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John is telling the purpose, the reason he wrote this book, this letter. It was not written in chapter and verses. That was added later by man. But when he wrote this book, John had a purpose in mind. He skips a lot of the things that other gospels like Matthew, Mark, Luke mentioned, like the birth of Jesus, the genealogy of Jesus, and temptation, baptism, and things like that. John, from the beginning, from chapter 1, he said, he wants to talk about the Word who was with God, who was God, and who came and dwelt among us. And we saw Him, we heard Him, and He just wants to encourage people and help people realize that, believe that, not just inform you that Jesus is the Son of God. John says, I'm writing this so you may believe that He's the Son of God. See, like today, we might have a hard time believing that Jesus was a human, like one of us. Back in those days, when they saw, like, you know, like if I'm just looking at Jason or anybody like that and just say, hey, you are the Son of God, or you are God, you are my God, that would be shocking to call a man, a 33-year-old man, telling him, you are my Lord, you are my God. That will be shocking. So even from the beginning, like Satan was trying to twist the truth and make some believe, some people believe, well, Jesus was not 100% God. Yes, he was a good man. We have nothing against you. But don't you dare claim yourself to be God. Later, other people said, well, he was God, but he had no idea like how we are as humans. So John is going through his Gospels and he wants to show that Jesus was not, well, mainly God or mainly man, and he just somehow he was among us like a good man and, you know, and all that. John is picking certain stories, certain things Jesus said, like things about himself and miracles that Jesus made, like walking on water, like raising Lazarus from dead and things like that. John is just picking this and he says, I just want you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not just a man. And this is very important for us. And in his gospel, in this letter, John is picking seven witnesses who testify that openly about the deity of Jesus, that He's the Son of God, that He is God. I'm going to just go briefly through that and speak more about one of them. So even from the beginning, the first one who testified that is John himself, he says, like I just read here, I just write these things so you believe that he's the Son of God. John is writing in this verse, chapter 20, verse 31. He says, Jesus is the Son of God. That's him first. Well, the second one we see in his book is John the Baptist. In just the first chapter, verse 34. And I have seen, John the Baptist said, and testified that this is the Son of God. Talking about Jesus. John the Baptist is the second witness who says Jesus is the Son of God. Nathanael is the third one who says in chapter 1, verse 49. Nathanael answered and said to him, to Jesus, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So John is bringing all these witnesses. The next one is Peter, chapter 6, verses 68 and 69. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know. See, like, again, the word believe, it's not just we are, okay, we just are informed. Yes, we agree with that. He says, we believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The fifth witness is Jesus himself that says in chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. The sixth witness is Martha, chapter 11, verse 27. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And the seventh witness, which I'm going to share more about him today, is Thomas, who unfortunately got this nickname, Thomas the doubter, like, how is it in English? The one who doubted Jesus. Even though that's not the primary thing, you know, like he had so many other things that is mentioned about him in the gospel. But for some reason, this is the one that stuck with him, this, you know, sticker, this label that he doubted Jesus and so on. But he's one of them. And we see that in this chapter 20, verse 28. But I'm going to read from verse 24 in chapter 20. This is after Jesus' resurrection. This is after Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples. Judas the Iscariot was not there. The 10 disciples, together with other believers, were there. And Thomas missed that meeting. He was not there. And the disciples told him, we saw the Lord. And then we read from verse 24. Now, a week later, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas is the seventh witness who said, you are God. You are my God. So John is writing all this, brothers and sisters. It's important, not just because we want just to have the right theology and just to believe, yes, I believe he's the Son of God too. It's very important to know that we as Christians, we are not just another religion that we try to be good people and just follow some principle, a book that we have, call it Bible, and just want to be good people, nice people. Christianity stands out from all the other religions, all the other gods in this world, because Jesus dare to say that he's the Son of God. All these other people said, and all the miracles he performed, and the things that Jesus talked about himself, and people are talking about himself, they all confirmed before and after his death that he truly was the Son of God. And that's the foundation of our belief, our faith, that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's what brings us this faith in us. And John says, I'm writing to you for two reasons. I want you, verse 31 we just read, he said, I am writing this to you so you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And the second reason, John said, don't just be impressed by that. So, and I want you, the second reason, to believe and have life in his name. Have life in his name. This is a kind of faith that's alive, that's changing us. It's not just, okay, we believe, so okay, nice. We just have a new theory now, or just, you know, a new faith, a new belief that Jesus is the Son of God. John is writing, so these things can change our way of life. Jesus is the Son of God. That's very important. Even if he was just in how other people believed, maybe, I don't know, half God, half man, even if he was just an angel, let's say, if he was not the Son of God, our salvation could not be possible. Because in order to pay for our sin, we don't just have to physically die or a nice person to die for us. Our penalty for sin is eternal hell, not just physical death. If physical death is the pay for the sin we have, then when we die, we pay for the sin and we go to heaven. If just the physical death was the pay, like, you know, the price for the sin. And Jesus dying on the cross, the main thing was not, even though it was terrible for him to die physically, the main thing was for him being the Son of God, being God, he could experience the eternal hell, separation from God for us. And then John says, and now this is offered to you and me so we can believe and have life in his name. So my question is, how is this faith? How is this believing changing your life in the past week, past month? Did it change the way I speak? Did the fact that Jesus is the Son of God change the way I look at people, the way I look at my time, my life, my body, you, the church, my neighbors? Because John says this is why it is written, so you can have life, and not just this life, you know, eternal, but also like life abundantly, like we read in John chapter 10. I hope that this belief, this faith, is a living faith, like the name of the church. It's a living faith that is changing us and bringing us closer to Jesus. So today I just want to encourage you, talking a little bit more about the seventh witness I mentioned, Thomas. We just read he was here a week later after the resurrection, together with all the other disciples. And this time, Jesus appears there among them, says, peace to you. And Thomas was there too. And the first thing I want to encourage all of us, in order to get to this living faith, a faith that is changing us, our life, from inside out, the first thing is, I want to encourage all of us to be honest. Not just pretend when we are not sure. All the other disciples, they have seen the Lord. Thomas was not there the first time. So when they told him, Thomas, we have seen the Lord, he did not say, man, I know you guys are serious. I take you on your word. And, well, maybe even, I mean, he trusted them. But this was not a thing about like, okay, you know, just believe me that I saw that, you know, something happened. And, you know, just believe me because we saw. And this is the majority of us saying that. So you better believe, you know, don't, you know, you don't trust us, Thomas. This is not about that. This is a life and death situation. This is a salvation issue. And this is where Thomas, one of the 12, a disciple picked by Jesus, he started to doubt in his heart, not because he was rebellious, not because Thomas was here to, you know, to go against them. This was said by a man who was ready to die for Jesus. We read that in John chapter 11. Thomas said, let's go and die with Jesus, because Jesus wanted to go in a certain place where people hated him. Thomas was not this man just who wants to satisfy his curiosity and says, Lord, bring me evidence, because that's, you know, that's how I feel like. This was a disciple, honest, and said, Lord, you said you're going to die many times before it happened. You warned us you're going to be people going to kill you, and you said you're going to raise from the dead. Now there is so much confusion. There's so many lies around. People are accusing us for stealing your body, and I have not seen you. And yet the priests and the Pharisees, they accused disciples of stealing Jesus, trying to fake his resurrection. And Thomas was genuinely confused and scared, and he was like, "What is going on? I don't want to take the word of Peter and John and everybody else. I believe you guys. But if I want to follow this Jesus," in his honesty, he said, Lord, would you please? That's what I'm just saying. Probably that's the way he was thinking, and say, Lord, please show me like you showed them. I came to the Bible so many times like that, not just to, ask for physical evidence. Lord, if you are God, if this, the Bible is true, just make it, just the rainbow appear right here or whatever, like weird things like that. But I had many times looking in the Bible, I say, Lord, you said you'll have life abundantly in me. My peace is sufficient to you. And Lord, here I am struggling, and it seems like I don't believe that. Don't be afraid to acknowledge that, brothers and sisters. That's the first step towards this living faith, when you just look at your life and say, Lord, what I see in the Bible, what you said, and what I see in my life is not the same thing. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. I was speaking in tongues. And years later, or probably months later, after that experience, I noticed I could not control my mother tongue. I get angry. I could say harsh words. And I came to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to stop praying in tongues until you help me control my mother tongue. Because there is no such a thing as, let's just get over this. Thomas was honest. He was genuinely waiting for the Lord to do something that he promised. He was not like the Pharisees. He was not like, those people who tried to catch Jesus. Well, just perform a miracle. We're going to believe in you. Jesus did not do that with them. But with this man who was honest, one of his disciples, Jesus come to him. And he's just meeting Thomas, answering his prayers. But the first thing is very important, brothers and sisters, to be honest before the Lord. Whatever the situation is, this was a disciple of Jesus. This is a disciple. Sometimes we are scared to admit the shortage we have, the struggles we have. I'm not saying we have to go publicly, just post on Facebook, these are my struggles. That's not the point. The point is, Thomas said, unless I see in him this signs, some evidence. Asking for physical evidence for spiritual things, it's not always, a wise thing. Like, we have the Bible today. We have the Holy Spirit today. We have, God gave us everything we need for godliness. We have everything we need. But these people did not have a written Bible yet, even though they had part of the scriptures. They were called to do things they never did before. And this is why Jesus gave them the authority even like to forgive sins of people or perform so many miracles so people can believe them. But we are not in that position where you just have to write another, bring a new movement like they did, bringing this new covenant, new life to people. We have everything we need today. It's important to be honest before the Lord. We read in Mark chapter 9 about a man who had a son who had an evil spirit that tortured him, throw him in fire and water, tried to kill his son. And this father is bringing his child to the disciples in order to ask for help. And the disciples tried to cast out the demon. They could not do it, so they finally bring it to Jesus. And this man told Jesus, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my," what's the next word? "Unbelief." Jesus did not say, "Man, make up your mind. Do you believe or you don't?" That's not what Jesus said. He looked at him and he saw this battle inside this man's heart. "Lord, you just said everything is possible. When I look at you, I believe that. When I look at my problem, my son, unbelief comes in my heart. Help my unbelief." We were just singing this morning as the deer is seeking the water. And one of the lines there, I was singing because I knew what I'm going to share this morning. It was fresh in my mind. It was personal because it says, "I love you more than anything." And immediately in my heart was, "Do I love God more than anything?" And the honest truth is not. Because many times I have idols in my heart that I fight. Pleasures or whatever, you know, things that I value more. And I'm tempted to look at those things. And as I was singing that, I said, "Lord, help me to love you more than anything." That's an encouragement for us to be honest with the Lord. And whenever we come to these things in our lives that are not as the Bible or God is expecting us to be, maybe the way we speak, the way we look at things, whatever it is, let's learn from Thomas to bring all these problems to the Lord. Amen. Talk to him. "Lord, I believe you can change me." This is what brought a new level in my life I started to see the Bible differently when I just admitted that I am so far from what I see in the Bible. Many things. Like when these disciples were persecuted, they praise the Lord. And, you know, just the mosquito bites me and I complain, I shout out like somebody cuts me off in traffic. And I just go like, you know, explode. And I say, "Lord, this is not how the first people behaved. Help me, Lord." I remember the time when I was in the Bible school and I was about to quit. I actually decided to quit. I was just waiting for the CEO or somebody to show up a few days later to tell him that I'm quitting. I packed up my baggage and everything to leave. And I was just attending the classes because I could not just leave like that. But I was not doing my homework or anything like that. And I remember the day, I vividly remember the classroom. I was alone in the classroom, a big classroom. And sometimes when we do the homework, you know, maybe somewhere in the back there's another guy working or something like that. And when I was there, I was so desperate for something from the Lord. I did not ask for signs or miracles. I was genuinely discouraged. I was in a Bible school that was, you know, trying to make a servant of God out of me. And there I am, just, "Lord, I'm just going back to my fishing. I go back to my town. This is not for me. This is too high for me. Lord, I cannot do it." And as I was just opened the Bible, and I was just seeking the Lord, I opened the Bible. It opens to Psalm 32, verse 8. "I, the Lord, says, I will guide you. I will watch over you. I'll show you the path you have to go. I'll have my eyes upon you and show you where you have to go." And I told you this. This is probably the most physical evidence, if I can call it that, even though it was not like that. But when I read that verse, I heard it like a physical voice. I turned back. I thought maybe there's one of my colleagues behind me just, you know, reading it aloud to me. And I was in tears. I said, "Lord, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you, Lord, for watching over me and speaking in such a way that it's meaningful to me." Thomas asked something that was meaningful for him, and he was honest to ask that. We are not called to tempt God. Faith is not just showing the, you know, the physical evidences, even though, you know, we thank God for many of these physical evidences. Like, Jesus was man. We see John talks about him getting tired, getting hungry, you know, and all those things. He had a family and so on. We thank God for those things. But in this case, faith is trusting the Word of God, trusting Him with all our heart. May the Lord help us with that. Just like this father did, he confessed his faith and also said, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Many times we are embarrassed maybe to admit we don't know something. It's very hard to say, I don't know. We live in a world where everybody has opinions about everything. You know, you can like something on Facebook, and you know, you can share whatever you think, and everybody has opinion. It's okay to have opinion. I'm not saying you don't have to have them. But the thing is, when it comes to the Bible, if we do not admit our shortage where we need to grow, we will never grow there. The first question in the Bible, this probably even the children can answer that. The first question in the Bible, God asks Adam, where are you? Not because God was just looking, hey, I can't find you, where are you? God saw him right there. God gave Adam and Eve an opportunity to be honest. Say, Lord, I'm lost. I messed it up. This is where I am. We have to learn that, brothers and sisters, to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I do not know. There was a man who was asked, what do you believe, like about God, Christianity in general? And he said, well, I believe what my church believes. Well, and if you happen to go to a good church who has a, you know, famous name, like, you know, for a Bible church, something like that, well, you got the, you know, okay, well, that's nice, you know. People assume you believe the same thing. And they ask, well, but what does your church believe? Well, my church believes what the pastor believes. Well, but what does the pastor believe? And the man says, man, I cannot tell you that. That I cannot tell. You know, I told you already what, you know, I believe what the church believes, what, you know, but what the pastor believes, you know, in other words, he could not give an answer. What do you actually believe? We have to be honest when we come to the Lord. You know, it's not fun, it's not easy when you have people who come to the Lord. But this is why people coming with questions and stuff like that. This is why we have to be like children. If they do not understand something, they will ask you 10 times, times 10, why is the sky blue? What, you know, is this and that the thing? They are just curious. I remember working at one of the companies, and we had these meetings, and there was always an honest co-worker. Like, we have the meeting after almost the meeting was almost over. This co-worker, like, you know, the supervisor would ask, is there any other questions? You can guess who was the guy who raised up the hand. Everybody wants to go home. Man, just pretend you know everything. You know, but how we do this? And, you know, can you be specific about this and other thing? The truth is, we all did not know exactly how things were supposed to work. We were working delivering, like for Papa John's, as truck drivers. And there's like so many things, like how to deal with the stores, the managers, and, you know, so many other things. And this guy wanted to be right. But we were just, man, just pretend you know, let's just go home. You know, why just, you know. But he was, you know, honest about that. How many of you have heard the verse in the Bible, the famous verse in the Bible? In Romania, there was a bus driving in the hometown of my wife, Oradea, Loredana. So there was a big bus going, and there's like big verse, you know, from the Bible that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many of you know that verse? Have you heard about that verse? It's a famous verse. Do you know why we have this verse in the Bible? There was a guy, like in the meeting of co-workers, who said, I do not know what you mean, Lord. And that guy was our hero today, Thomas. We read that in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6 about that. And the Lord tells them, I came in, talking about the place he's going to go to prepare and everything. And he says, the Lord says, and where I go, you know. And the way you know. Jesus said, you know where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we actually don't know. We do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thank God for the honesty that Thomas had. For such a great Bible verse for us. I am the truth. Truth is a person, not just information. That's why John says, I want you to come to believe in him. Not just have a big head full of information. I want this information to change your life. Be honest with the Lord. Can you honestly say that you rejoice all the time in the Lord? I do not rejoice all the time. Can you honestly say that you do everything without complaining? I honestly tell you, I want to. Lord, help my unbelief. I want to, but I do not. I don't give up. Can you honestly say that sin has no dominion over you? I wish that would be true, but it's not yet, because I believe. I want to follow the Lord. And Thomas was honest with God, with Jesus. And the second encouragement I want to, the second point I want, just beyond being honest with Jesus, what I learned from Thomas is, to trust God that He knows your personal needs, your secret needs, your failures, your doubts, what you're scared of. We come to church, we look nice, we pretend, you know, we sing. I'm not saying we pretend like, you know, we're Pharisees, but, you know, we try to show, like, we, you know, I'm not coming here to make your day miserable, but when I am alone at night, when you cannot fall asleep because you think about your family, your children, maybe your grandchildren, maybe about yourself, maybe even doubt your salvation. Don't be afraid to talk with God about that. He knows exactly what you go through. And when Jesus came there, we read in verse 27, without even being asked, when Jesus appears again, nobody told, like, point, everybody point, like, toward Thomas. Jesus, that's him right there. Nobody gave a report to Jesus. We don't read about that. Jesus, make sure when you come, have a talk with Thomas. We don't want this guy just to mess up our testimony. Nobody said that. We don't read that in the Bible. Everybody was together. Jesus appears there. And he just goes, okay, I know what you struggle with. I know what your fear is. I know exactly what you go through. Thomas, do not believe. Do not unbelieve, but believe, Thomas. Put your finger here. God knows exactly if you need a rebuke today or you need encouragement. What word do you need? God, this is a living faith. This is a faith that believes. And just this is what we see there. God just talking personally to whatever needs he had. Be careful. Because a lot of people today, we see that especially today. It's the opposite of what we see in the Old Testament. People were scared of even pronouncing the name of God. And today you hear left and right, God told me this, God told me that. And they would even come talking to your life. God told me to do this or to do the other thing. Be careful. With all this physical, like, you know, excitement and everything else, like, you know, signs and wonders. Jesus told us in Matthew 24, verses 23 and 24, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Do not believe just because somebody comes and tells something very personal to you. Especially like, you know, this kind of prophecies that, you know, anybody can fit into that prophecy. You know, if it's personal, like I just mentioned with you, that verse that I share with you from Psalm 32, verse 8, that verse is not just, you know, it could mean nothing to somebody else. But in my case, it brought life, clarity. I knew exactly. I gave up quitting the Bible school. I actually graduated from Bible school. And I said, Lord, I want to follow you. It's you who I follow. And these people are here just to help me follow you. That's what I want to do. God knows exactly what you go through. Before you even speak a word, God knows exactly. And when in the large meeting, Jesus appears and says, Thomas, come here. Come here. I know exactly what your fear is, what your doubt is. And Jesus is just restoring Thomas' faith, and he's helping him. The third point I want to encourage you with is when God meets with you and with me, surrender in worship. Surrender in worship. When Thomas saw Christ appearing, his reaction was not, Lord, but can I have one more evidence? But look, can you just... We don't even read him actually touching Jesus' body. His reaction was verse 28. He says, my Lord, my God. That was the response he had. We just were singing again this morning, like, you are my brother, my friend, even though you are a king. And Thomas was just so overwhelmed when he saw Jesus coming there and in the midst of the disciples. And his response was not just emotional. Not just, okay, wow, Lord, this is... And just like, you know, as a friend, just looking at it, says, Lord, but can we just meet some Band-Aid? Do you feel pain, Lord? It was not physical, even though it was a physical evidence for them to believe, to see that. His response was biblical. That's what John says. I want you to believe, not just have compassion. Well, poor Jesus, it was so painful for him to go to the cross, to all those, you know, physical pain. Yes, it was very horrible for physical pain. But everything, it should lead us towards a biblical faith. Towards a closer relationship with Christ, and you look at him and make it personal. Thomas said, my Lord. Express the authority. Lord, I give you the authority in my life. You are my boss. You are my leader. Lord, you are my Lord and my God. A genuine faith should not just stir up emotionally. It should lead us towards surrender to God, worshiping him, and just seeing him as the Son of God. This is the foundation the church is built on. With people who, like Peter said, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. And Jesus is building his church on this rock. So, brothers and sisters, John is writing his letter to encourage us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is not just a man who came in this world, live a perfect life, and just, you know, disappeared. He came here. He dwelled among us. We saw him. The flesh. The Word became flesh. We saw him full of grace, truth, compassion. He showed us what God the Father is. And he even said about himself, and all these people confirmed that he is God. He's the true Son of God. And that believing that, having that as the foundation of our life, we may believe, go every day believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and we came to know him and to follow him. And even though we follow Jesus, it doesn't mean there's not going to be a day in your life or my life when we're going to struggle with something. In those days, remember to be honest. Remember to bring all your burdens to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I go through. Have mercy on me, Lord. I see what you said in the Bible. I see what your promise is. Lord, I see what the command in the Bible is. Lord, I cannot do it. Give me the grace, the power, Lord, to obey that word and to live like that. It's very important to be honest before the Lord. It's very important to know that God wants to be your God. Personally knowing you, everything about, even the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything. That brings so much confidence and assurance that God is in control. Even the birds outside, none of them falls because just randomly like that. He provides for them. How much more for you? He knows exactly what you go through when it's hard for you. He is there. And God will find a way to speak to you. I am not sure how that is going to look. I told you again before, I'm a driver. I face so many times difficult situations. Last night, we had an accident on our way home. I took Lori with me from Chicago. It was an accident past St. Louis. We stopped, and there's a towing truck just flying on the shoulder, hits the mirror of my truck. And instead of getting home like, I don't know, 8 p.m., we get 1 a.m., stuff like that. And God knows exactly what's going on with our lives. He's already there to help us, to support us, to be with us. Thank God nobody got hurt. No, don't worry about that. Everything is okay, but God is with us. He knows exactly what we go through. Let's trust Him. Let's put our faith in Him. He knows us personally. And whenever God is showing you something, surrender. Worship Him. Follow Him. How many more evidences do we need? God gave us the Bible. So many people did not even have a Bible that we have. Whatever translation, like we have multiple tools. So many translations, Bible, you want printed, you want electronic, whatever. Like, you know, it's countless resources. John said, I could write, he said, like even the whole world cannot be filled with the books if we have to write everything that Jesus did and said and everything. But this is not going to, you know, bring you more faith just because there's more information. For Thomas was enough to see Jesus and to react as, Lord, I surrender. That's enough for me. For me personally, it's enough to see the cross. There at the cross, He paid for my sins. There at the cross, He showed me how serious sin is. He had to die for it. There at the cross, He showed me that He loves me. There at the cross, I need to come and surrender. I say, Lord, thank You. We have the Holy Spirit today. We have life. We have another day. Let's just live for the Lord. Come to Him. Surrender. Say, Lord, You are my God. I cannot make my God my daughter's God. I cannot make my God my wife's God. This is a personal decision. Everybody has to decide that. May the Lord help us and make all of us full of grace and courage and being bold for Christ like Thomas was. The history says he was killed for Christ, martyred for Christ. He was in India and in many other places. And he genuinely believed what Jesus did and followed Him. God's plan for your life is beautiful. Trust Him. Follow Him. May the Lord help all of us. Amen.